Tonight's Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34. That's on page 685 of your Red Pew Bible. Matthew 6, verses 31 to 34. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thanks, Milad.
As we come to God's Word, just before that, I just want to thank you guys. You are my favourite. You're my church family, and you've been so wonderful to us in every way, whether through prayer, whether through support of different means. The reason we're able to do what we do is because of your partnership as a church, and also a number of you stepped out as individuals and started supporting in prayer and many other ways. And I just want to thank you from all our hearts for the way you have been supportive. You're a great team. We appreciate you big time. Especially thanks to Ange and the mission committee and everyone involved. Brian Walicki, you did an amazing job with that presentation, mate. You worked so hard, and I want to thank you personally. Friends, I'm so happy tonight because I have a nephew and a niece. It's the first time they ever enter a Ngawi Baptist Church. And I'm so thrilled that they're able to be here. They mean a lot to me, so I thank you. Can we give them a big welcome? Thank you. So, as we look at tonight's message, it's putting Jesus first. That's the title of my message, putting Jesus first. I guess the challenge is that everything in life tries to cause us to put it first. Everything cries like a little baby, wah, wah, put me first. Whether it be food, whether it be television, whether it be someone in our life, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whether a job, whether money, so many things cry out, put me first. And many of us are drawn to one of those things, and we end up putting the wrong thing first. Jesus knows all about that. In that passage, I really want to concentrate on just one verse. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you." What did Jesus say? "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you." We'll look at what does he mean by all those things in a minute. Psychologists say there are three major needs in life. The first need is for comfort: food, drink, water, home. That's the first need. The second need is for acceptance by others. We all want to be accepted and loved by others. And the third need is to find meaning in life. We live life searching for meaning, looking for meaning, for the purpose of my existence, for coming to this place. You often wonder, what am I made for? What did I come here for? We have these three needs. Now, psychologists, you know, have taken maybe generations of self-study to come up with those brilliant conclusions. But Jesus knew those things all along. And you can see it in Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about them. And he knows, and he says, "I know you need the comfort of food and drink and house. I know that you need to be loved by others." The second greatest commandment that Jesus says is what? Love others as yourself. Meaning. I know you need meaning. That's why I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I know you have those needs. But what does he say? Do not worry. Do not be focused on. Do not be concerned about. Do not carry as your number one priority. I know you need those things. Because, you see, if you focus on food and on being accepted and on meaning in life, try to find it somewhere there, if you focus on all those things that we often focus, whether job, whether money, whether fame, whether whatever, Jesus said, they will add nothing of eternal value to you. They will really not bring you the joy, the meaning, the love that you need. They will leave you empty. They will leave you lost. Because you see, nothing apart from Him will fulfill you. Now, lots of people read these words about do not worry, you know, and Jesus said, don't worry, and I'll take care of you. And I'll say, oh, that's really nice about not worry. How can I not worry? You know, we've had Julia, who did we have, Prime Minister? Oh, Julia Gillard. See, I even forgot her. I mean, how can I not worry? Now we've got some other people in there. But what about my job? What about this? What? Do not worry. Do not worry. How can I not worry? Well, the only way I shouldn't worry is I'll go somewhere in a monastery. I'll sit somewhere up there in a monastery where I'll just meditate on some mountain of beautiful ideas, and that's the only way I will not worry. Is that what Jesus is talking about? Is he talking about escaping life, or is he talking about how to really face life? Jesus never escaped from life. He faced it more than anyone. He faced it with the devil. He faced it with all temptation. He faced it with the demon possessed. He faced it with the religious leaders. He faced it with the Romans. He faced it on the cross. He faced death and rose again and defeated every one of them. He never calls us to escape. He calls us to face them. But how to face them? You don't face them with your muscles and with your wisdom or your strength. You face it with Him. Now, the thing is that when we look at this particular passage and see what Jesus is talking about, as I said, I don't believe He wants us to escape it. Rather, He is telling us, I have a way that you can face it, that you can live it, that you can handle it, that you can be victorious in it. And a life in the midst of a very tough and busy world. A life where there is corruption and all kinds of pressure upon us. A life where there are financial struggles in a very materialistic world. And a life where we must raise our kids in such an evil generation. We are bombarded, we are challenged, we are fought with. Everything you can imagine is launched upon us. And Jesus says, do not worry, do not be concerned, because I have a way of living that will help you to face it and to succeed. So how do we live this life? How do we live this life when a small pimple that comes on our face wrecks our week and our month? How do we face this life when a boyfriend leaves you or a girlfriend leaves you? How do we face this life when you lose a job? How do you face it? Well, there we go. Jesus says the answer is that the only way to face this life is to be a follower of His. How? By seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, by making Him first, and all these other things will be added unto you. Now, what is this kingdom of God all about? Seek first the kingdom of God. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm the king and I rule a kingdom. And if you want to be able to face this life, to handle whatever needs you have, you've got to make me king and ruler of your life first. You've got to be concerned about me above all. You've got to put me first. You've got to concentrate on me first. You've got to focus on me first. You put me first in your life. Let me be the king. Let me the one rule your life. And nothing else. Let nothing else rule you. I remembered in Punchbowl Boys, it had Lebs rule. I've remembered here in Australia, we have Aussie rules. But I want to tell you, none of those things rule. There's only one who deserves to rule, and that is Jesus. He is saying, I want to be the one who rules your life and nothing else. And so Jesus is saying, let me be the king. Put me first, the priority of your life, with all your heart. Let me be the king of your life. And there's a similar thing where the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, same sort of thought. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In other words, God, you be the king of my life. In this earth, in your church, in this universe, be the ruler, be the king. Your kingdom, that's the priority. That's the first thing that needs to happen in our life. If we're going to be able to handle this life, if we want to honor God, if we want to really be disciples of Jesus. Let him be king. Put him first. Remember when Jesus was, his parents, Mary and Joseph, they lost him and they went to the temple and they said, son, where are you? We've been looking for you. And he said, didn't you know? Didn't you know I must be about my father's business? What was he doing? Putting him first, not his earthly parents. God was first. As a 12-year-old, he knew how to put God first. He must be about his father's business. Are you about your father's business? Is he first? Or are you handling every other business but his? We need to put him first. That's the strong idea that is coming across. Friends, we care. When we care for God's business, he will care for our personal business. Jesus says, those who run after, you know, power, fame, and all those things, they put these things first. Hobbies, sports, you name it, their family. When you put those first, then Jesus can't be first. Now, and you who say, you know, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, but he's somewhere down the line, Jesus said, seek me first. Seek me first. And it means that Jesus is to be placed above everything else, higher than anything else. Jesus being the king, the ruler, the first in your life. And he promises you that if you make me king of your life, that if I rule your job, rule it through you in the job, I rule in your life, in your relationship, in your circumstances, I promise you I will add everything else. Many times we chase everything else and nothing will be added unto us really. But when we put Jesus first, he will add those things. I can't tell you enough. A wonderful story about putting Jesus first. I met this lady, her name was Linda, 7 years ago in a restaurant owned by my friend, the same friend. I put the flyer. She was there, gave her a flyer. She came. I talked to her. She said, I haven't been to church for 20 years. She came to our Bible study. And when you come to our Bible study, you get Jesus-cuted, electrocuted. And she did. And she gave her life to the Lord, committed her life to the Lord, and started following Jesus. And not only that, we really discovered then that her husband is leaving her. He wants to leave. He had fallen in love with a Muslim woman. He's of Orthodox background. And as a result, he became Muslim, converted to Islam, and left his first wife with two kids and gone. Linda stayed with us, putting Jesus first. Instead of running off, doing some other thing, losing her faith, she kept faithful to God. She kept putting him first. 2 years ago, that husband, ex-husband, had a big fight with his Muslim wife and they divorced. 6 months ago, he rings up his first wife because they've got two kids and they have to, you know, sort of go from 1 week to the other with the kids. The thing is, they were fighting in the courts like battles after battle after battle, financial, kids, you name it. They were enemies of the highest order. But 6 months ago, he called and he said, "Can I come and spend Christmas with you?" And she said, "Of course." And he said, "I'll bring my dad." And he came. And for 7 years of divorce, he's been divorced, been far away from her. He looked and he saw, after spending Christmas, he said, "How stupid I have been. I've left this. This is a godly woman I have left." And he's a hard sort of a guy. He's a GM of a major company in Lebanon, like a Maya store type company. And after that, he wanted to come back and have lunch with the kids. Another week later, he came and had lunch with, and she would come to our church that we just started. Now, after a few weeks, he said to him, "Would you come to church?" And he said, "Yes." He came to church. And, you know, I was looking at him. You know, when the first time somebody comes to church, they look like the chosen frozen. Not like you guys. You look funny and happy. I'm glad because I'm your uncle. But he looked like the chosen frozen, stern, hard, because life had dealt him hard. After divorcing that second wife, he went loose like a goose. And he just went out with women left, right, and center, drinking, you name it. Anyway, the thing is, he came the first Sunday to church. And then he came the second Sunday and the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday. I asked his ex-wife, I said, "How's he doing?" She said, "Nilad, my daughters were looking at him. They came to church with us. They said he was holding back the tears. He was holding back tears from crying." I said, "Why?" He said to her, "I've never ever felt the word of God like this. I've never felt the presence of God. I've never understood the forgiveness that Jesus offers. I never experienced it in the Orthodox Church. I never experienced it in being a Muslim. But now I really know who Jesus is and his love and his forgiveness." Well, I had then a 4-week sessions with him, discipleship. He surrendered his life to Christ. He renounced Islam and committed his life. He put Jesus first. And not only that, they then told me, "We want to get married again." And so we did 4 weeks of marriage courses. And I married them 1 week before I came to Australia. And that was the picture of them, the first wedding in our church. When you put Jesus first, he adds everything to you. Mate, he had lost everything, but he put Jesus first. And the Lord added. She put Jesus first, and the Lord added. When you put Jesus as king, not as your servant, not as Santa Claus, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he will add those things to you. Let me quickly throw a few things of how do we put Jesus first? How do we make him the king and ruler of our life? You can add as many as you want, but I just want to throw a few that mean a lot to me. And one of them is, we put Jesus first by loving him with all our heart, soul, and mind. The two greatest commandments, friends, that Jesus gave, what are they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's the greatest commandment. And the second, love others as yourself, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, I believe you put Jesus first when you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I want to tell you the saddest thing I've seen is that there are people out there, even in the church, that love a football more than Jesus. They love their cricket bat more than Jesus. They love their job more than Jesus. They love their girlfriend or their boyfriend more than Jesus. Come on, you really? Yes. How do you know that? Well, how do you check out whether you love Jesus more than those things? Well, how much do you hang out with Jesus and how much do you hang out with them? How much do you please Jesus and how much do you please them? When I see somebody, a Christian, at a football game, and don't get me wrong, I like football, I like soccer, I like tennis, okay? But I'll be honest with you. We worship sports many times, or our job, or things, more than we worship Jesus. The way we give them hours of our time, the passion, the joy that comes over us, it's like worship. Now, in Lebanon, and probably somewhere else, there is, in the area where I live, they worship saints. They worship Paul, they worship Mary, they worship so-and-so. But you guys here also worship saints, don't you? You worship St. George, you worship St. Kilda. You worship your ball, your job, saint money, saint girlfriend, whatever. But Jesus says, if you love me, you put me first. In other words, you love me more than all those things. And friends, we've got to show it by what we do with our heart, with our relationship. Where do we put Jesus? And so we show that we love Jesus when we read his word constantly. We show we love Jesus when we talk and walk with him. We love Jesus. We show we love Jesus when we obey him, when we do not put him second or third. You show you love Jesus. You put him first by doing those things. Number two, you show you put him first when you love others as he loved you. Friends, he calls us to love others, to care about others, not to be selfish and self-centered, but to care, but to invest in others. But to I said it somewhere else, and I said, I can't justify living in my neighborhood for years and my neighbor never knowing I'm a follower of Jesus. Never knowing, never telling him that Jesus loves him and died for him. I can't justify that. If I love others, as if I put Jesus first, then my love for others should go out and say, you know what, even though I'm going to look like a fool, even though I'm going to look like an idiot, stupid, whatever it may be, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus, because it doesn't matter how I look. The true love will do whatever it takes to tell others about Jesus. That's how you show whether your friends, whether your parents, whether whoever, put Jesus first by loving him, but also by loving others and being bold enough to share Christ at work, at home, wherever it is. That's how you show you love others. You see, we love others by investing in our marriage, by investing in our children to live and glorify God. We show love for other people by especially telling them about the one who loves them. Finally, three, we put Jesus first by letting him do whatever he wants with our money, with our time, with our talents and abilities. We show we love Jesus when we put him first, not money, just paper. When we let him rule that, not we. We show Jesus first when we let him rule our time and our days, not something else. We let Jesus rule our life when our talents or gifts are not for us, but they're there for his service and the service of others. Friends, I can't tell you enough. This scripture has helped me from the age of 19 to now I'm 47. Every tough challenge I have faced, the Lord would say to me, but seek me first. I remember when I first became a believer, I left my girlfriend. I had an Aussie girlfriend, but she didn't want to go with Jesus, so I didn't want to go with her. I left her. I went into the church, and I saw everybody was having girlfriend, boyfriend, thinking. But the thing is, Jesus said to me, son, but seek me first and I will add what you need to you. I remember going to wedding after wedding thinking, God, it'd be great to find the right Christian wife who wants to love you and serve you. And Jesus would say year after year, son, seek me first, put me first and I will add this to you. When I was looking for a job, Lord, I just want this job, a good job where I can work for you, where I can make a future. Lord, which job? How? Jesus would say, but seek me first, put me first. Let me be the king of your life and I will add the job to you. I can tell you one after the other after the other. And guess what? After 28 years, Jesus has added the best wife I could have ever imagined, the kids, the job, the things, many, many I could number he has added to me. Not because I'm good, but because he is good. And all I did was let him be first in my life. Friends, I really encourage you, put him first. No one else is worth putting first. He puts you first. He shed his blood and died to save you. He gave everything so that you might have eternal life, but also that you might live on this earth a life not of defeat, but of victory. A life not of emptiness, but of meaning. A life of joy, not misery and pain. A life that is free from Satan's fear and control and dominion over your life to a Lord who loves you, who cares about you, who accepts you, who fills his heart, overflows with love for you. I encourage you, put Jesus first and all the other things that you're chasing in his time, whatever that is right for you, he will add to you. Let's pray. Let's close your eyes, and I want you just, if you've heard God speak to you, to put him first. I want to encourage you tonight, put him first. Say, Lord, I want to put you first. Would you do that? Would you talk to God right now? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be good. You might feel worse than any sinner. It doesn't matter. You come the way you are. And God will take you like a dirty fish out of water and clean you and make you beautiful. Just surrender to him. Just say, Lord, I want to put you first. Make a commitment this evening. Don't go without making a commitment to really genuinely put him first and commit your life to following him. Talk to him right now.
Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you true rest. Come to Jesus. Put him first. Whether as a Christian or a non-committed Christian, come to him. And put him first. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your word that is so clear to us. Father, the world cries for us to put it first. But we want to put you first. You're the only one that deserves to be first in our life. No one died for us except you, Lord Jesus. No one saves us except you. No one loves us really. Accept you. Would you please be the king of our life, the king of our marriage, the king of our children, the Lord? Would you, Father, be the ruler of my thoughts, of our words, of our what we hear, of what we do, of where we go? Would you help us to put you first and be your disciples? And we thank you, Father, and we believe in your promise, Lord Jesus, that you will add all these things to us. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.